So what do you get when you take a bunch of radio freaks, set them in front of live microphones, and let them talk about radio? Well, you get the coolest show about the radio on the radio. Broadcasting from RCO Plaza, this is Radio Connection Live, the podcast, where AM is analog, FM is king, and the smart speaker has taken the place of the terrestrial radio as the listening apparatus of choice. It's your show worldwide, and we want to hear from you. We're on Twitter at RCL The Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Radio Connection Live or email us at rclthepodcast@gmail.com. And now get ready to become involved in the very latest in broadcasting news, entertainment, and just plain fun. Here are the stars of our show, Preston, Tim, AJ, Ashley, Darnell, and put your hands together for our host, Mr. Jamie T.
Well, pals, here we are again. Welcome to the coolest show about the radio on the radio. We call this thing Radio Connection Live, the podcast. I am Jamie, so glad to be back with you guys for another exciting episode. Preston's here. What's up, man?
Hey, not too much, man. You know, just doing my thing as usual. It's been a busy week. As always, I was going to take a show out on location day at one of our local food truck events, but that got canceled due to the upcoming storm we're going to be getting from late tonight into Friday morning. So,
Sounds like fun. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, not.
Yeah. Tim is here, our audio professor. What's up, man?
I'm almost here. Not here, almost here. Okay.
Okay then.
I'm still waking up. Okay, you know, and I'm running around here trying to plug stuff in and figure out why things don't work.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that last night we got a big hellacious thunderstorm, and so I'm connected to the show, and I can't get anything through my board. Then I realized, oh wait a minute. I unplugged the board last night before the thunderstorm.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
So it took me about...
And Tim, because of your mistake, you deserve one of these.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I do want to... But guys, so today's a very special show because the...
Right on cue, Jamie. Good call.
Thank you. So the prodigal son has returned. You guys know him as one of our contributors here at Radio Connection Live. And he's also a talk radio geek, which is given today's show is quite fitting, actually. Please welcome a friend of RCL's. He's one of our contributors. And he's getting a standing ovation today. Please welcome our boy, Mr. Chris Newsbaum.
Hey guys, I am doing great. Oh, thank you so much. I see we're having all kinds of fun with the ducks today. All right. See, you're having all kinds of fun with the sound
and
effects.
His dog.
I'm doing great. It's a rainy day here in Maryland, but I've been here inside. And
now, do we have your dog here today or not, Chris?
The dog is upstairs, so as not to disturb the recording.
Oh, okay.
But the dog.
Well, you know, the dog's part of the show since last week's show. Remember when we played that little clip of you, and your dog was the star of that.
Oh God, that was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about like an old, one of those old live shows? We were in the middle of the show and I was about to take a call.
Yep.
And the dog. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where did you find that?
In the archives.
It's been lurking around the archives. Yeah.
Yep. And because you guys are going to be getting some storms, I thought I should do this. Oops, sorry. Wrong one.
Not that one.
Okay, well, here we go.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
I think you should bring your dog in and you know, in into the
you
show.
Know, maybe I should. Yeah. Home radio. Yeah. Right. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, if
I got it. Since you guys got some bad weather, I feel that's my duty as your producer to do this.
Oh. Yeah, I know. Blame Mother Nature. You know
that's Tim. That's Tim's neck of the woods. Here, it's just like one of those steady, miserable rains. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, yeah, I've been trying to go to this food truck event in Maryland for like the past few Wednesdays, and every time I try and go, it wants to rain or like crap out on me. So
yeah, but here it's just one of those, you know, steady things. But y'all seem to get one of those big, as Tim described it, hellacious storms. So
okay, so
maybe
okay.
the storm you got down there was more. It's more apt for that sound effect.
Yeah, let me explain to you how Tim learned the word hellacious. We featured an air check.
It's a great word.
Yeah, we featured an air check on Monday about a radio station in Fort Myers, WHEL. Right, Preston?
Yes.
Right?
You have to say hell yes.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Yeah, exactly.
Hell cool. Yes!
Oh, almost right. And hi, Lynn. Because we can hear it for a while. Ashley, what's up, Ashley?
You didn't introduce me, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jamie.
And now I have to do this. And I have to do this to myself.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Ashley, you still got your swim fins on? I hear you guys got deluged the other day.
Yeah, but I'm actually in Michigan and it's storming and raining. So yeah, either way, it would suffice.
Right. All right. So guys, today's a very special show because, let's just say one of our RCL cohorts got a job, right, Chris?
Ooh. Yeah, get a job.
Yeah. Because
and it's safe to say those 4 years of college and working the show paid off. So
yes,
and
thank God. Let me just say this. Thank God for audio archives, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because between RCL and over the years and The Blind Side, which is the show I did for some time, for 4 years, I have a whole folder in my Dropbox, plus this podcast feed full of audio samples. Yep. So whenever, full of shows, so whenever I am called upon to provide audio samples to, you know, a station or a potential employer or just somebody wants to hear my work, then, you know, all I have to do is go into that Dropbox folder and I've got
send them
six
a bunch
or seven
of samples.
Files for them.
Yeah, that's how you do it. And so tell us about the, because we talked at length on the phone about the station. Tell us about the station.
Yeah, so the station of note here is 105.9 WLNI in Lynchburg, Virginia. I've talked about them pretty extensively on this show, but pretty much what happened was I spent some time with them last week in person. I was there all day for 2 days with them, just immersed in everything they were doing. And what ended up happening was I got a part-time job there, kind of like an internship type thing at this point. So I'm coming in and I'm helping with you know, production of promos and call screening and writing newscasts, recording stuff, voicing stuff, just pretty much anything they want to throw at me. You know, they're a small operation and they need somebody to fill in a lot of gaps. And so that's my purpose.
I was listening to the station this morning. I had it on this morning. I was listening to it. And they have a local morning show from was it 5 to 9 or 6 to 9?
6 to 9.
Six until 9. Then they have Brian Kill Me.
Unfortunately. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love that station, obviously. I love that station. But man, that was a I did not like that call.
Then at noon they have Dan Bongino, which is funny because they were a former Rerush affiliate.
Yeah.
And they're only airing 2 hours of Hannity. And
yeah, we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that in a minute. And then, you know, and so I think the great thing, it's a nice little, because it's first, Chris, I thought you'd be going over to 93.7 The Rebel.
Yeah. The thing about The Rebel is that they don't really have anything at this point in terms of staff, in terms of, you know, on air or even production. They've got a really skeletal crew, and much of what they're running is pre-produced automation stuff. And so, you know, there's not really much of it there, you know what I mean? And but there's so much potential at LNI. So I was really, you know, intrigued, and I've been listening to them for most of my time in college. So I was like, all right, let's give this a try. So you asked me to tell you a little bit about the station, and there's a story behind the station, which I'd like to share, that I think really speaks to not only the station, which I think is pretty inspiring, but also the people that I'm working for now.
Right.
So when I first started listening to WLNI, and I think for most of its existence, it started back in 1994. But when I first started listening to WLNI, they were owned by a company called Wheeler Broadcasting, which is based in Roanoke, Virginia. And they're kind of a small regional conglomerate. So like, they're no iHeart in terms of conglomeration, but they own a lot of stations in the region. If you go back and listen to our interview with Ellis Feaster, he worked for a station owned by Wheeler. They've been around forever. So he worked for a station there in Roanoke, WXLK. So LNI was taken over by Wheeler, and I'm not going to take a stab at Wheeler at all, because I mean, they've got a lot of stations in the area, and a lot of those stations are great. I mean, they've got Q99 over in Roanoke, which serves the whole market with an adult contemporary format, and that's a great station. But Lynchburg is a small market. It needed a very community-based station. And they were going through a period where they needed essentially a place that was serving Lynchburg and only Lynchburg, because everything was centralized in Roanoke. And unfortunately, Wheeler was making WLNI lose its focus. So we're March or April of 2020. So really in the thick of COVID, as COVID's becoming, you know, really a bad thing. And here come Brian Wiegand, Mary White, and Rich Roth. And they have this tiny little company that they're starting called James River Media. And they say, you know what? We're going to buy WLNI from Wheeler, and we're going to turn this thing around and bring it back to what it's supposed to be.
Right.
They bought it. They bought it exactly when they needed to buy it, because they were going into COVID, and, you know, what better time for radio to be, for news talk radio to be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And they have nowhere near the resources of a Wheeler or an iHeart. They're really having to build the station up from square one, but they're doing it. And I mean, if you want to talk about people who are dedicated to their craft and who are dedicated to their community, it's those three people who work incredibly hard. But that's how much they care about that station. And they are really doing a great job of building that thing up. Just watching it, really, and watching their dedication just really has inspired me and continues to inspire me.
You know, it reminds me a lot of 97 Country in Lakeland. I mean, they're owned by a small communication company, Hall Communications, which only owns about, I think, 7 or 8 stations now. I mean, I don't know how many stations they have now, but anyway.
They have 21. They sold one of them to EMF, as you know,
so they have 20 stations. But they know how to super serve. You know, part of the function of a radio station is to super serve your community. Right, Tim. We talk about that all the time. You know, super serving your audience, and you also had to know what and who you're programming to, which is also which is called demographics. You had to know who and who you're programming to and what you're programming. You know, I've heard formats that are just slapped together. They don't give it. I mean, you know, we saw it here a few years ago. You know, Bubba 98.7. They just threw it together, didn't give it a second thought, but. You know,
just built it around this show, which they were just kind of coasting on its popularity.
Right. But what happened, I think what you do, and Tim, talk to us for a minute. You've been involved in format changes. What is when a station, let's say a station wants to change from music to talk, what goes into, at least in your experience, what goes into making the transition from a music format, for example, to say a talk format?
Lots and lots of production. Production, yep. Production, production.
Yep.
Right. So if you're a news talker, it goes beyond just finding the programming that you want. I believe that.
I mean, hey, you know, at W Talk, we were music of your life. We went from a music of somebody else's life format to a talk format, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you had to restart all your production.
You have to, you know, figure out what you're running and then find out where to get it. And once you've got that figured out, then you've got to go in and you got to start writing promos for everything. It's, you know, write the promo and produce the promo and production, production, production. I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean,
even when James River Media bought LNI, they didn't change the format of the station. But up to that point, all the promos, all the imaging sounded just like all the other Wheeler stations. It was built around its Roanoke counterpart, WFIR, the talk station over there. If you listen to the old LNI and then you listen to the old, to the current FIR, and you listen to their promos and their liners, they sounded almost identical except for the call letters. So they had to, again, go back and totally change that around. I don't know if that was Wheeler saying we're taking all these back, or that was the new company's choice, probably a little of both, to say we're totally separating ourselves from what we used to be and we're going to become our own thing.
Yeah, I mean,
but just remember, Chris, that too many radio stations in this genre, in this talk radio business, I believe, and it's just my personal opinion for whatever that's not worth, but too many of these talk stations take themselves too seriously.
I agree.
And one of the things that made W Talk an outstanding radio station was that we would poke fun at the talk hosts.
Oh, yeah.
We would have fun with it. Oh, you know, I was constantly rolling on this or that or something else, trying to catch a talk host doing something strange, you know. Mm-hmm. And once I'd get something like that, then I'd come up with a promo for it.
Right.
Make a promo about it. Case in point, and I've been thinking about this the last couple of days, our talk station, WSKY in Gainesville.
Yeah.
They are now off the air.
Really? Like, yes. Totally off the air?
Wait a second, Tim, when you, okay, so the fact that radio station is off the air, now I have no choice but to do this.
Exactly.
Why are they off the air?
The air, yes, they are okay. Off the air. And the reason they're off the air is apparently they're putting a new antenna up. And apparently they kind of are having problems doing that because of all the thundering storms coming through. So we don't know when it's going to actually come back on, but they're upgrading their signal. Oops. And what made me think about that and tying it to what we're talking about here as far as having fun was that day when I went into TAL, we were off the air. It was the day before the big 1994 election.
Yeah, I remember this promo, actually.
We were completely off the air, and people were wanting to hear Rush, and they
right.
were calling, and yep. they were calling, and they were calling it. And so, naturally, I'm sitting there taking all the phone calls and recording everything that they say, and made a promo around it. And it was a fun, little, crazy promo
awesome.
That we put together.
Did y'all not pay your light bill or what?
Yeah, did y'all not pay your
light bill or what?
That was great stuff. Couldn't believe that, but especially considering that they hadn't paid their light bill and the power company would show up at 5 o'clock and say, did you pay your light bill? And I say, no. Okay, well, you're off the air. But my point being, Chris, is keep that in mind. Have fun.
Yeah.
Have
yeah.
fun.
Well, you know, with the radio station. That makes me think of something. One of the calls I screened, they decided to kind of experiment with me. I was sitting in on the morning show and we were just having fun. Because, I mean, the guys who do the morning show, Brian and Mary, they just have fun with it. And as were Anthony and I back in the production studio, we were just having fun sitting in on the show, watching them have fun. And we were just, you know, we were just talking back there and enjoying ourselves. And so the first call I screened, Anthony picked it up, handed it to me. I said, good morning, WLNI. And the guy said, yeah, tell Brian he sounds like a moron. And
Ashley Butel entered the waiting
and
room.
I said, well, can you tell me a little more about that and why you feel that way? And he gave me a little something and I said, all right. And Anthony's laughing his ass off. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do this. And I said, all right, I'll put you on hold and see if they'll take you. So then I sent a text into the studio and whatever his name was, and I said, you know, whoever on line four. Thinks Brian is a moron, and or thinks Brian is a moron about Biden. And we went into break. Brian came into the production studio and said to the producer, Anthony, you got that clip, right, of Chris taking the call? He's like, yeah, I got what the caller said. And he said, take that, isolate it, and make a promo about it after the show.
Oh, yes.
See, they've got it. They have it. That's how you have to approach talk radio these days, because everything is just so super serious.
And it's funny because I was working at WURK and I was doing afternoon drive. We had a young lady, probably an 11-year-old who'd never, I mean, she'd listened to the station, but given the kind of stuff we played. And so her name was Kalia. Okay. This girl, 11 years old, she said, Jamie, can you play, I forgot what song she wanted. And it was so cute that my boss came into the studio. I was set at the board and he goes, hey, Jamie, did you record that? Because every call we got, we have to record.
Right.
For later broadcast, right? And so I'm like, yeah, I have it. I have it right here. And he goes, okay, so we made a promo, safe for the big kids or safe for the grown-ups. And then, we play, music for the grown and sex, whatever. And also good for the little kids. And then we have Kalia's voice. 96.3 WURK is my station. And so it proves that you can make a promo out of dang near anything.
Yeah.
If you're willing to. Even if you think it's not such a good idea, why do you think in talk radio you hear those little hey Rush, my name is Bob and I love your show, man, keep it up, like that,
right?
I'm
sorry, just to finish the moron story, because this was funny. When we went into break, Mary, the co-host of that show, Brian's co-host, saw my text into the studio about the caller before Brian did. And so I heard Mary say, hey Brian, caller thinks you're a moron. Think I'm gonna take it. And Brian said, oh God. And so then he comes in, he's like, you recorded that, didn't you? Take this and make it a promo out of it.
Oh yes,
that is good talk. See, and that's actually what happens. Like a lot of radio stations will, like a lot of producers will take something good that the caller said, they'll isolate it or they'll earmark it and say, hey, we can make a promo out of this, that kind of thing. So a lot of, you hear that done on a lot of talk radio stations, right? Whether it's news talk or sports talk, you hear that done all the time. Not really much in music anymore these days, but I would listen to Neil Boritz would do that, for example. Herman Cain did it on his show. Yeah. So you hear it all the time on news talk radio.
The best part about all of that is that if you're doing that on a local basis, the locals hear themselves on the radio later on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
builds your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they feel
like they're a part of what's going on now.
Something that I noticed was that, and maybe this is, Tim, you might know this, if this is just a small market thing, but I noticed that they start to have their regulars to the point to where the call screener would take a call and know exactly who the person was. It's like, oh absolutely. Hey Bob, that's you again. All right.
Absolutely.
That happens all the time. When I call into FLZ, I'm good friends with the folks on their morning show called The Joe Show. And so producer Jed Schilling will come in and say, hey Joe, we got Blind Jamie on line three. Oh yeah, our friend Blind Jamie. Let's go talk to Blind Jamie. Good morning, Blind Jamie, because they call me Blind Jamie.
Yeah, and that's not just a talk thing. That's all across the board.
Oh yeah. In fact, there are several star, what they call a star call, like superstar listeners on the Joe show. There's me, and then there's, I kid you not, her name is Sherry, the 51-year-old virgin.
Yeah, she was on yesterday, by the way.
I know, I heard the podcast. I got up late, so I heard the podcast. But yeah, she literally is a 51-year-old virgin. So that's what happens. You get your regulars. You get your regulars calling in to your morning show, and what happens is, you know, Jed told me, he said, sometimes Jamie, when you call in, I'll take something that you say on the air. And they had a promo once, a morning show that's so good, even the blind listen to it. I love the Joe show. 93.3 FOZ is my hit music channel. You know, that little thing that I did for him.
I don't know how I feel about that promo, but it works.
Well, of course, you know, you can blame Howard Stern for all of that.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Explain.
Well, Howard Stern loved to take calls from disabled, shall we call them, people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's where one of his characters, a lot of his characters, like Stuttering John, came from.
Yeah.
And of course, MJ did it with Dave the Dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, you can blame Howard Stern. That's right out of Stern.
Uh-huh.
Sterndom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sterndom. Chris, I was listening to the morning show on LNI this morning.
The Morning Line.
Mm-hmm. Morning Line. There you go. I almost had it right. Anyway, I like the fact, I noticed that they really don't make fun of the other talker in your market, do they?
No, and part of that might have to do with the fact that Mary used to work for them.
Oh wow.
Now, what was funny, something that happened off air while I was there, was LNI and IQO, which is WIQO is the other talker in the market, And they did a kind of morning show swap where LNI got Brian, Brian and Mary. Actually, Brian wasn't on IQO. I don't know where he was, but Mary was on IQO. LNI got Brian and Mary, and IQO got a lady named Janet Rose, who was on LNI when I was first introduced to LNI, when they were owned by Wheeler. So one time while I was there, this is like in the middle of the day, we were off air. Somebody called the station. Mary answered the phone, and they were looking for Janet. And they said, "Yeah, is Janet there?" And she said, "Janet who?" And whoever it was said, "Janet Rose." And she said, "No, Janet Rose isn't here anymore. I replaced her last year."
Right. Go ahead.
So they did this morning show swap, and but yeah, I mean, quite honestly, there's nothing much to make fun of about that station, even if they wanted to, because they're what I call a syndication outlet. I didn't know Janet was there, but I guess Janet's there and she does her thing in the morning. But other than that, they're not doing anything local. They're not doing anything fun, is what you're trying to say. Well, they're disconnected. They're disconnected from their community. That's where I think they're becoming irrelevant, maybe the word is.
And you know something?
So yeah. IQO's loss is LNI's gain.
You know something, Chris? You know, the reason why I asked that question of whether or not they make fun of the other talker in the market is I want to play you, and I may not play the whole thing, but you know, I'm the one that wields the production buttons here, apparently here at RCL.
Take producer's privilege.
Exactly. So, does anybody remember the rivalry between Mike Calta and Bubba the Love Sponge?
Oh, sure.
Oh, and, yeah. And that is how we ended up with this.
Trying to remain relevant by calling this show is a guy who can't fill his own show with content, so he's calling us. Hello?
Now, am I live on your guys' air? Because you're live on my air.
Yes, you are. Blah, blah, blah. Finally, somebody will take your phone call, so they'll try to help you remain relevant in this town, you moron.
So is that how you're spinning it?
Spinning what? You're the one calling me. You've been on this show. You've been on the air today, and you've played 5 parody songs, I'm guessing. 7. Sorry, the count is up to 7. 7 parody songs, and now you have to call me because you can't fill a show with content. You have nothing. Now, I dare you to do a whole show without playing one parody bit. I dare you.
Mike?
Yes, Todd?
I've been doing radio for 30
years. Yeah, I know, but for the last, like, 5, it's been pathetic radio. You started out good. You were killer when you're on at night, and then when you were on in mornings at 98 Rock, you were good for a while, and then you got so cocky and lazy, it just got terrible.
Why
would you pretend to be
a... Who is that? Who is that? Is that the token black guy that you have in the studio so that you could be a racist?
Right, it's the token black.
Why don't you shut up? Why don't you shut up for a little while and let the real man talk? Why don't you let the real man talk? Why do you kiss my ass every time you see me, but now you're going to in turn step up and try to be a tough guy? Let the big boys talk, little kid.
You kiss.
Listen, hey, if you want to talk to me, you talk to me. I don't want to talk to your underlings.
Listen.
No, you listen, okay? It's my show. If you want to talk to me, Bubba, then you talk to me. Don't send the little minions because you can't handle a conversation one-on-one with me, and you know that.
So you're going to call...
Shut up and let Bubba talk.
You're gonna call. You're gonna call 25 my token black guy.
You've said that 100 times on your show.
He has not.
I don't know that I've said that. But anyway,
okay.
That's how you.
Why don't you look? If you tell him to shut up, or I'm gonna hang up. You want to talk? I'll talk to you. I'm not gonna talk to the underlings.
Cowhead, you're a little tough guy. You're a little New York tough guy.
I am not little, buddy. I'm very big. And I am tough. I'll punch you right in your fat face.
There you go. I mean, at least you don't get that on stations like L and I or.
Well,
or
that's a very different kind of format too.
Yeah, that's a.
And hot, I have a question: did that guy get fired for saying ass?
Mike Calton. No, he's still there.
I asked that because yesterday, mm-hmm, I saw a certain DJ post something and he got fired from a station like way back in the early 2000s for swearing. So it's just ironic that I saw that yesterday and then he played that today. And I was like, oh, did someone else get fired for swearing?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I mean, there's, and Chris, I think we talked about this off air. There's two different kinds of talk radio. You have your political, you know, your, I mean, or I will say there's, there's three. Okay, that's kind of like three. You have your political talk, you know, which is what, you know, you get from Kill Me or Limbaugh or whatever it is. Then you have your hot talk. That's your Bubba the Love Sponge, your Mike Calta, your Howard Stern, your Covino and Rich, all like that.
Yeah, Lex and Terry. Aren't they hot
Lex
talk?
And Terry, yeah. Yeah. Right. Then you have your black talk, you know, your Joe Madison's, your Roland Martin's, that kind of thing. So there's three different...
And your sports talk.
And your sports talk.
Yeah,
and
your sports talk. Right.
Your sports talk, which is usually fed by one of three major... Wait, is it three? Sports talk doesn't count for another one because, you know, it's fed by usually three networks, ESPN, Fox, or CBS, and each net.
Unless you want to try to be, what is that station in Baltimore? The Fan.
Right.
I was trying to remember the call letters, but it was one of
how many
the fan.
Fans are there?
Yeah, I know.
There's plenty. Well, actually, now we have 4 sports networks because Odyssey acquired BetQL, as you all might remember.
Well, no one cared about sports betting or sports gambling, Preston.
hey.
I sure. Oh. I mean, you know, I mean,
apparently
that's why I don't.
That's LNI. And while I was at LNI, they were, somebody was producing ads for,
if you love someone.
What?
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Wrong button.
If you love someone, you'll bet on them on your fantasy team. they were producing an ad for FanDuel, which is a sports betting site.
Oh yes.
So.
I'm not a big fan of all the sports betting and the fantasy football and the whatever, because I know about regular football, but not, you know, fantasy football. I mean, I think it's kind of pointless, I guess, is the word for that. I mean,
it's a thing. I mean, I don't know. People.
Yeah, they pump a lot. Yeah, I mean,
people enjoy doing it. I guess just.
So, Chris, back to this this job thing. Let's try and get this back on track.
I was gonna ask
where
questions.
We're talking about.
All right, go ahead, Chris. Okay.
What was your question?
I think Ashley was going to say something there. So.
What shift are you working, and how many days is it going to be?
So it's we know that it's going to be 2 to 3 days a week, depending on how much they need. But they haven't decided exactly how many hours I would be working. I don't know if that's because they don't know, or it's because they haven't talked about it yet. What shift I'm working, that would be during the day. So I would be coming in like noon to, or either like noon to seven if she's having me work on the sports show from 5 to 7. Or maybe 10 to 4 if she's having me work on midday stuff.
Okay. Now.
Or now, 9 to 4.
Yeah. Now, Chris, you told me a story about Mary. Now, it's the same Mary that's from the morning show.
Yes.
You said that this woman is, I mean, when it comes to being a radio freak, this woman's got us beat.
Hmm. Yeah. Are you talking about the shift she's pulling? Shifts she's
not
pulling?
Well, that and the fact that she actually has a couple radios in her office.
Yes. So we'll start with the first, and this just amazed me. Now, my mom pointed out later that Mary is a partial owner of the station, it's not surprising that she's there longer than most others, but still, I mean, holy crap. Both days I was there for 2 days, and Mary was there between 4:30 and 5 a.m. to prepare for the morning line, which started at 6, and both days, she didn't leave until after 4 p.m. So 12 hour day. And that's, you know, just because she cares that much about that station and trying to build that station up. And I didn't see anybody there, including her co-owners, there for anywhere near those hours. And I'm not saying that they're not dedicated, because they are. But I mean, just that's amazing to me. You know, the first day I was there, I was just like, go home. And she's like, I will. I just have a lot of stuff to do. And I was guilty, because I thought it was because of me that she was staying so long. But then the other thing that, Jamie, you're referring to is I was in her office one time, and I noticed that she had the direct feed from the station going on her computer, as, you know, they all do. But she also had a little radio on her desk tuned to WLNI. And I said, why do you have a little radio when you've got the direct feed, you know, coming through the station or coming through your computer, and you can go into the production studio or the main studio and monitor the whole thing from anywhere? And she said, because I want to make sure that I can hear it as the listeners are hearing it, so that if we run into any problems, I can hear it from that end and can pick up on it, so I can let the engineer know before I get calls from angry listeners.
That is without a doubt the fastest way you're going to find out if you're off the air.
Yeah. and Tim, you love,
and you'd be surprised cool, how though. Many stations do not have that and do not.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I did the same thing at WURK, even though the producer told me not to do it. I would take my little transistor radio. Yeah, I had one. I'd take it with me into the studio. I'd set it beside the soundboard. Beside the console.
Yep.
And while we were playing music, I would listen to the station on my transistor, making sure everything was functioning as intended, because I knew that if something ever went wrong, we were going to hear about it from listeners. And that although that did mean that did mean more promos we had to cut, because you know we used to go off. Mm-hmm. Listen, when I was at URK, we used to go off the air a lot.
Mm.
And so every time we did that,
the joy of LPs.
Oh my, yeah! Like every time we would go off the air. I mean, we had a lady, I guess, in her 70s call us, and she said, "Is y'all on the air today? I'm trying to listen to Jamie's show, and like, what happened? I mean, did your lights get cut off? You know, that's you know." And I'm like, no, man, we're having some tech issues. One time our internet they didn't pay the internet bill, so we couldn't really take any requests or things or whatever. One time we had a thunderstorm that knocked out half of our station computers and our transmitter. So we had that problem happen too. So I think what Mary does is she wants to hear it from a listener standpoint. And that way, if there is any issue, she can nip it in the bud before.
Yeah, and if she's going, and if she's going out, I heard her say at one point, and this is this didn't make sense to me until I heard her doing it. Mm-hmm. But if she's going out to do something, or she has to have a meeting or something, she might say, if Brian's in the, you know, office, the next office over, Brian, take the radio.
Well, that sounds like you have a very conscientious crew there.
Yes.
What kind of technology, adaptive technology, are you going to be using?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I was going to ask that too.
That's a good question. So, first of all, Tim, prepare for your brain to be picked, because I'm going to have questions about boards and labeling stuff, and I mean, they're very adaptable, and thank God they're using an analog board that has buttons and stuff. They were apologizing to me. Mary and Brian were apologizing to me that they were still using old technology, and I said, no, that's a good thing, because if you had upgraded your board, you would probably be using a touch screen, and I couldn't use the damn thing.
Yeah. Right.
So it looks like I'm able to use the board pretty easily. You know, it's just the standard buttons to pot up your mic and dials to
your faders. Your faders.
Yeah,
fader.
Yeah. Dials to adjust levels and stuff like that. But they have their boards plugged into a CPU, so they've kind of got they're matching the old with the new here. They've got their boards plugged into a CPU, and they're using, for their audio editing, Adobe Audition. Now, here's the problem. Adobe Audition is inaccessible. So,
for about that completely.
So I was like, well, crap. And I actually didn't have any experience with Adobe Audition and didn't know whether it was accessible or not. So when I was asked about it, I thought, honestly, I don't know. So I put the question out there, did some Googling, and found that it wasn't, in fact, accessible. Then I had to make the decision whether or not I was going to make this work on my laptop or ask them to download NVDA or JAWS onto their one of the computers.
On the station computer studio. Yeah.
And I thought, well, at this point, if I'm in a part-time position and I can't use their software, I might as well just do it on my laptop. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut my stuff in the production studio, and then I'm going to have somebody come in and email that file to me, and then I'll open that file up in my editor, editing software on the computer. Currently, I'm using Goldwave on my laptop, and then I'll do the editing and then send them back the WAV file.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds workable. That definitely sounds workable.
Yes.
And I know there are some other radio stations that are using that Adobe stuff too. So that's not a surprise to me. There are other stations that are using that.
It's just, I mean, the frustrating part about it was just that I'm having to use something different than all of them are using, and they've been using it for years. And they're not familiar with what I'm using. Of course, I can't use what they're using, as I say. And right. So, you know, I'm trying to edit a promo for them, and I was having issues with my Goldwave. I thought it was my problem. It was actually Goldwave acting weird. But I couldn't ask them. You know, Mary kept saying, is there anything I can help with? And I said, unless you know Goldwave, no. But if I had only been able to use Adobe, if only Adobe were accessible, then if I was having problems, I could ask one of them and they could tell me how to fix it.
Yeah, I did some promos for WURK.
What did you use?
That's the thing. I would do. I never used my laptop at home because I couldn't find anything that would work with it. So what I do is I would reach out to Renee, my producer, who produced my afternoon show, and she'd stay around and help out any way she could until 3 o'clock when it was time for my shift to begin. And so I would record. I mean, and this is a poor man's way of doing it, but hey, you do what you got to do. Anyway, so I would record so let's just say, Chris, your business, right?
Right.
And you send us the copy,
right?
Already written out and ready to go. Then they would send it to me on my personal email, and after which I would write it in Braille, and then I would and then I'd read it as proficiently as I could and watch for it. And if I started stuttering, I'd do it again. I'll read all the same piece of copy 3, 4, 5 times until I can do it without stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I did that, because I don't have the kind of software, I would email it up to Steve, our production guy at WURK.
Yep.
And send him the dry recording and let him piece it together.
basically. Yeah, that's a good way of doing it too. And if, you know, and we talked about that, and if they have time, then they can do that too. But since they're a small operation, as URK is, since they're a small operation, the, you know, ideal situation is that I could do it from start to finish so that, you know, I can get one thing done while Anthony, who's their one of their other production guys, can get something else done while Mary's getting something else done. So they can get a little more output, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, depending on the radio station you're at, a lot of times they'll, you know, they'll have like, I mean, that's one of the reasons why they have more than one production engineer. They'll have 2, 3, 4, or 5. So that way, if one is bit like if one is, you know, is working on something else, then the other, right, then the other can pick up. So that's it makes the transition. It makes everything seamless. Okay. One guy can't do it. Okay. Let me forward it to the other guys, and whoever says, yo, yeah, I'll do it. You know, whoever take, you know,
right now, what they have. So right now what they have is two people who are fully dedicated to production. Mm-hmm. And there's one who's there in the morning because he produces the morning line, but he stays until like 2 maybe, or whenever he's done, you know, 1 or 2 to produce other stuff. And then there's the other guy who produce. There's another guy. So the morning line guy is Anthony, and then there's this other guy, Tommy, who produces the other show, the Sports Line. And by the way, line is a derivative of the call letters LNI. That's why you get the title line in those shows. Right. So.
Shout out to Pete Bunch. Pete Bunch is the station's imaging voice.
Yes. So he does the Sports Line, and then he comes in maybe around 12:31. And he's in there, and he does liners for the Sports Line, and he does commercials and stuff of his own. So I was working on stuff, and I was throwing questions at both Anthony and Tommy. And then Mary and Brian both are also doing stuff as needed. They can do production, but they're, you know, they're on air people. So they're also doing interviews, and they're doing, you know, booking.
They're setting up guests too and everything like that.
Setting up guests, yeah.
It's a little bit like the show. I mean, we're on our people, but we may be setting up interviews for future shows. We may be working on air checks. We may be working on, you know, something else for this program. So it's a little similar thing, just on a smaller scale.
And honestly, if anybody there listens, if anybody from WLNI listens, first of all, thank you. Second, this isn't to discount Rich in any way. I just don't know, because I didn't see Rich that much. I worked, like, I sat in on the Sports Line and I saw him a few times, but I don't really know what all he does. I'm sure he does stuff, and I'm sure he does some, you know, I'm sure he does some production, but I think most of what he does is dedicated to his show, which is fine.
Well, do you think they would be open enough for you to go ahead and put, say, NVDA and your Gold Wave on their computer? Because they really don't, I mean, it doesn't matter one way or the other what you use to produce stuff, as long as you get it done.
Right.
I agree.
And I mean, you know, yeah. At ELE, I had my software set up on that, you know, on the production computer. But, you know, everybody else came in, they do theirs whatever way they use to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I would come in and use, you know, my Audacity or whatever to do it.
You used Audacity. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was using it. Still am, as a matter of fact. And you know, if they would allow you to put the stuff that you need on their computer, then you would be pretty much self-sufficient. Because they don't care what you use to produce stuff. All they should care about is that the stuff gets done.
They don't. And I was afraid that they would. And finally, I had that conversation with Mary. I told her I'm not going to discount Adobe until I do some research on it. And then when I came back, I said, all right, looks like Adobe isn't going to work. And she said, well, you know, if you use... And fortunately, she had heard my audio samples before. So she said, well, if you use this Goldwave to do other stuff and it sounds good, it doesn't really matter what you use. So, but I haven't asked, but it's worth asking if for no other reason than, you know, when I play it back, I can at least hear it through a better speaker.
Yeah, you can. I mean, like, I think I'm kind of, I've learned not to do this, but I do it anyway. I've learned that, you know, when it comes to doing any kind of product, like when it comes to doing any kind of production, you want to be able to hear what the finished product will sound like.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, even
you have to. You have to, before you send it to anybody, you've got to know what it sounds like.
Yeah. Why do you think
see what else they edit?
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, when we were working on the intros and outros for this show, I sent Tim the scripts of what I'd written before we send it to John. And Tim's like, okay, you know, I got to check it for grammatical errors and this, that, and third. It's stuff that I never, I mean, I know how to write, obviously, but it's stuff that I never pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think that's why one of the first things that Mary had me do was write copy. And one of the first things she worked with me on was how to write copy for me.
I had
done it before, but one of the things that I noticed was hardest. Mm-hmm. For me about this whole experience was the timing necessary in terrestrial radio. One of the big differences between terrestrial radio and internet radio or podcasting, as much copy as I've written for internet radio, the difference is that in terrestrial radio, the timing has to be so precise.
Oh, yes.
So one of the first
things I've been preaching at you guys ever since I started this show, right?
So one
writing,
of the first...
writing writing is key.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's wrong with my throat today. I can't something in my throat. Yeah. I can't get rid of it. I don't know why. Anyway, one of the tricks that I used at the stations I've been at is I will write stuff on the computer, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and write up a piece of copy on the computer, and I do that just basically to make sure that the copy sounds good and that it's, you know, grammatically correct and so forth, make sure that it... Yeah, but for the timing of it, that's where you have a little bit of a problem, trying to figure out on a computer how long is it actually going to be. And even if you let, say, JAWS read the copy for you and time that copy, it's still not going to be the same timing as if you were reading.
And that's the problem that I had too, Tim. When I was working for the Radio Forecast Network, that's when I was on those like five or six other radio stations in Pennsylvania. I've never heard of Port Allegheny, Pennsylvania. I don't know where all that is anyway. But you know, I mean, they said, oh, well, this needs to be a 25-second forecast. This needs to be a 30-second forecast. And then it would go over. I'm like, oh, crap, I got to throw it out, start over again. And, like, it was a nightmare because I'm like, okay. Like, and that's why I left that network. And now I mostly do Play FM and one show on WMNF because at least with those stations, I know what's expected of me.
Well, you know? just try to remember this. When I would write a piece of copy and I'd get it down exactly pretty much the way I wanted it, so forth and so on, then I would take that piece of copy to the Braille writer and I would start brailing the copy up. And I could very easily see how long the copy is going to be by brailing it. And what you do is you're going to count the lines, the number of lines in a piece of copy.
Oh, okay.
In Braille.
Did you read it aloud before you?
Because the number of lines on a computer and the number of lines on a piece of Braille copy are completely two different animals.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, they are. Yes,
and so what you want to think about is approximately 8 to 10 lines of Braille copy is going to be about 30 seconds.
Okay.
If you want to push it, you can maybe get 11, maybe 12, if you're really talking fast.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's just raw copy. That doesn't count your breathing or anything like that.
One of the other things, and I think this goes along with what you're saying, one of the things that Mary told me, and I keep going back to things that she taught me because she really, you know, took me under her wing personally through this whole thing, was when you time yourself and you judge that, you've got to know your own voice.
Yeah, you have to know exactly what
and you
sound.
Have to be versatile. You have to be able to do, you know, soft sell spots. You have to be able to do hard sell, screamer spots. You've got to do, you know, you've got to be able to do characters. You've got to do it all. Each of those things that we're talking about is going to vary the amount of time that you actually have to work with. So 8 to 11 lines is a good 30.
Okay.
16 to 18 to maybe 20 lines is going to be a 60. And if you use the full Braille paper, the computer type Braille paper, you know, the ones that you got to tear the tracks off.
Track your feet in your
Braille.
That, 11 by 11, I think.
Yeah. If you use that paper, a 60 second spot is going to be one page.
Okay.
That you never, ever, ever want to have a piece of copy that goes over one page. Number one, because you're not going to be able to do it. Number two, because you're going to have to change pages in the middle of your reading, and that never works.
Yeah.
One of the things I did at URK was I was also the station's voiceover artist. So as a voiceover, and we've had voiceovers on this show, matter of fact, say this. You know, you had to learn, you had to be versatile with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, I would do something like, now you have a new place to chill inside the Love Zone with Technique. Weeknights at 8 on 96.3 WURK. People power.
See, you're not timing into a network. And when you time stuff, and obviously this is a talk station, they're using a lot of satellites.
Right.
You have to know how much, you know, time you have. And it is in that final rewrite, Chris, when you're sitting there taking it off the computer and saying, it looks like I got about 4 or 5 lines too much in this computer copy. And when you start to pare that down and rewrite it for the final written form, that's the form you're actually going to sit there and read. It is amazing how you can get that piece of copy nice and tight to fit in the time that you need it.
I want to talk about timing. I want to talk about timing anyway, because timing into a music format, well, depending on the format, is much different than timing in, because again,
do you have kind of a timing device?
Yes, Chris, I do.
You have a clock or something that gives you elapsed time so that you can start it at 0.
I was using the stopwatch on my phone.
Okay, okay.
And so what I would do is after I wrote the copy, I would I would read it aloud and time myself reading it, and then And then when I stopped it, I would see how much time.
How much time had passed, right. Timing into a satellite is much different than timing into, say, a station's local morning show. Because
it is. And let me share a story about that.
Sure.
So one of the things I loved most about this, and this is for two reasons. First, because of the experience that I got in preparation for this job. And second, just because I'm a radio freak. one of the greatest things about, and maybe the greatest thing about this whole experience, was these people allowed me the opportunity to sit in on anything I wanted to sit in on, observe them doing whatever I wanted to observe, participate in whatever I wanted to participate in. They wanted me to be totally immersed in everything, every part of how that station works.
And they wanted to include.
Sounds to me like you've got some great bosses.
Yes,
very, very hard to find these days.
Yeah,
really hard to find these days.
So you are very, very lucky, Chris.
Yeah,
I wanted you to be immersed in every nuance of that radio station, so you knew exactly what you had to do.
So when I was there, I think I was probably only there for like a half hour, and I was in the lobby talking with some of the production people and Mary, the general manager. And we're coming to the top of the hour news, and I'm kind of listening. We got the Fox News thing going, and I'm in the middle of saying something, and Mary says, "Hold that thought. I'm going to go into the studio and do a live news break, 30 seconds to air." And obviously, she'd had it written out ahead of time, but it was like 30 seconds to air, and she needed to go in and do it. And I said, "Hey, can I come in and watch?" She said, "Yeah, sure." So I came in, and she explained to me what she was doing with the board and how she was potting her mic and, you know, doing all that stuff. And she made sure it was coming through the speaker so I could hear both her and what was coming out on the air. And she said, "It's going to get quiet when I start talking, so I guess I'm going to fade it down." So anyway, she was doing this whole thing, and but she said, "Watch the end." And what she wanted me to watch was exactly what I listened to and noticed. And that was that newscast is 90 seconds. And because it's connected to, or not connected to, but timed according to the satellite, when that 90 seconds comes up, that computer was going to kick her off the air, whether she was done or not.
That's right. It's designed. And the reason why, and here now here's the thing. I was listening in this morning, and they turned on the Brian Kilmeade feed a minute early. This was in the 10 o'clock hour. They turned on the network too early.
Whoops.
Because
Anthony screwed that up. Okay.
Because the thing about satellite, because I used to think that with satellite, you could just set it and forget it. I used to think that. Now, and I want to hand this off to Tim. Now, Tim, you ran Rush at W Talk, right?
Right.
So it's much different now, because back then you had to babysit the satellite. Did you not?
Yeah, right. Right.
So what was that like? So what was it like to have to babysit Rush for 3 hours? I mean, what did you do?
Well, you know, if your spots are timed out the way they're supposed to be timed out, which half of them never were because I didn't cut them. It was usually the other people that would go over by 2 or 3 seconds or short you by a couple of seconds or whatever. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, it's you get a feel for stuff after a while. You do. You just get a feel for what you're doing. But back to this timing and writing kind of thing. Chris, one of the things you're going to find out is you may think you have a pretty doggone good piece of copy sitting in front of you, but that, by the time you get it done and you count those lines and you know you've got 10 and a half lines, your copy will have been so cut and perfected because you've given it that final polish in the writing stage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you pull that out of the Braille writer, you've got a much better piece of copy than you ever had on your computer. Yeah.
I noticed that with the promo, whenever Jamie decides to play it. And
Chris,
you've got a promo now on your voice is on the station, right?
She hasn't put it in the rotation yet. But because I need to layer in the music bed and all that stuff. But I do have I did cut a dry edit of a promo in their studio. That was the last thing I did there.
Cool. Well,
I was looking at the wrong feed. Okay, here we go. I actually have the promo right here.
Yeah, let me set this up before you play it.
Yeah, I know.
So what this is on the morning line, Brian and Mary have started this segment called Building Our Future. And basically the premise of it is that they're interviewing young people, usually high school kids in the Lynchburg, Virginia community who are making a difference in their area, whether that's like a community service opportunity or they're involved in some, you know, volunteer organization or whatever. So I sat in when I was there on an interview that Mary did for the Morning Line with this freshman at EC Glass High School, which is a big high school there. So the reference to an EC Glass freshman, that's what that's referring to. And Mary was interviewing her about her Girl Scout project. So then what they aired it on the Morning Line. And then what I needed to do was take it and turn that into a promo for the whole segment. So I needed to very briefly summarize her project, kind of the whole interview in a nutshell, incorporate at least one clip, I found two of hers, and then include the last little script you'll hear at the end about how to contact the show if you want to add something to that segment. Now, this promo isn't done. This is a 90-second promo in the end, and it has to include a little voiceover thing that's about 15 seconds long that says something along the lines of "The Morning Line presents Building Our Future" and something else. And then at the end, there's a 30-second long sponsor ad. So it had to be very precise. And I think I had to edit that copy about 6 times before I had it timed correctly. But the part which will have my voice in it. I think I'll send you the copy once it's done, but here is the dry edit, which is the part that has my voice in it and hers.
Maggie Jarvey, an EC Glass freshman, supports Lynchburg's children with her Girl Scout Silver project.
One that really stuck with me was making a mini library, because I saw many around Lynchburg, and I realized that there wasn't any at Old City Cemetery or any in that area, so I was like, maybe it would be a good idea to make one there, just for the kids around there that wasn't able to go to any of the other places.
The library took her over 100 hours to build, but Maggie's not stopping there, She'll soon go for the gold with her final project.
I want to make a butterfly garden, any place where a butterfly garden is needed.
You can find Maggie's library near the swing at Old City Cemetery. If you know a young person who's making a difference, let us know. Go to WLNI.com and click on the contact page. Thanks for helping WLNI build our future.
Wow.
Okay, and that and Chris, I don't know what you think, but that certainly deserves a nice big hand, a nice big round of applause. There you go, Chris.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to finishing that up. I think all the layering might be a little bit of a pain, getting all the voiceovers to stop and start where they need to be. And of course, the voiceover track doesn't give me any, you know, stop and start like John's recording. Literally, it's a dry recording. And literally, he does it straight through, no stops. So you have to do.
Well,
I mean, there was some splice.
First thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to time your elements,
right?
Separately, and so you're going to start with those two pieces and find out exactly how long they are, and then you will know after you've got that done how much time you have to do the rest of the copy. Which that's kind of the way you do those things.
You also had to. I also did note that there was also. I mean, 1 or 2 second. There was also some dry spots there. Between the transition from your voice to Maggie's voice, and back to your voice, and then back to her voice. So you also need to tighten that up a little, as well.
I'd like to see a little more enthusiasm out of that. Chris?
I could write. The only thing now is I don't have access to the studio right now, and she's gonna air this next week. So I don't, this mic is good, but it's not that good. And I recorded that with their stuff. Board.
Yeah, not all that you can do about the.
Yeah, I noticed you were kind of dragging through that copy a little bit.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it just means you haven't read your copy enough.
Yeah, I thought I had, but I will tell you this, that I thought I had done this a lot. I thought I had read copy and recorded it a lot, but I haven't felt so alone in a long time, and I'm wondering if anybody else has experienced this. There's a whole other level of feeling alone when you are in a soundproof room by yourself for the first time and somebody closes the door. And that's where I was recording that thing. So I came in. She turned the board on, showed me how to pod my mic, and she said, "All right, I'm going to step." I started to record, and then she said, "All right, I'm going to step out and leave you to it." And she closed the door, and I went,
"That's okay.
Oh my God, try that again."
That is the scariest feeling. You know, it's funny because that is the scariest feeling in the world, especially when you really don't know. You know what you have to do, but then to execute it is really, really difficult, especially if you're not used to their equipment or their systems or things like that. And, you know, I can do basic stuff, but when it comes to editing and things like that, now, like, for example, a lot of the stuff I record is recorded on my iPhone. I don't have a big computer set up in here. here in the studio. Because, and the reason for that is two reasons. One, I don't have enough room for anything. Two, I also had to think about, that's one of the reasons why when I record things for radio stations, I just send them the dry pieces and let them put it together, because I don't have the fancy editing software that you need. And a lot of times the radio station will account for that. They'll have, they have it where you send, like, for example, when I send things to Play FM, I send it to one person, and that one person handles, is responsible for it as soon as it leaves my hands.
Right.
And so that's.
Well, she just had me do this because she wants to see what I can do from start to finish, because she, right. The idea is I wrote the copy, I voiced it, I did the editing of my voice and the interview. And then right. I'm going to layer all the elements together.
Well, I had to do a promo once where we were actually going to be dropped. I don't know how familiar you guys are with the radio program called Democracy Now.
Yeah.
With Amy Goodman.
Yep.
We had decided to drop that program because, whatever. And so my boss calls me and says, can you make a promo for listeners that's saying we're dropping Democracy Now, whatever. And so I came up with, WURK listeners, as of February 1st, 2017, our contract with Democracy Now! Ends. You can continue to hear Democracy Now! By logging onto the website at democracynow.org. You can also get more information about what we plan to do after the fact by calling us at 813-856-9489. We've been proud to bring Democracy Now! To our listeners for the past year. Thank you for your support, or something like that.
Yeah, and that sounds very NPR-esque.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's funny because we promo that says, the views expressed are those of the hosts and blah, 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 mm-hmm. those little things. Yeah, I did it so seriously and dramatically. My boss actually said, I want you to do that, but in a more radio-ish. So this is like, this is what I did. The views, opinions, and conclusions made on this radio broadcast on 96.3 WURK. Are solely the views of this particular broadcast and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WURK Community Radio, its staff, management, or underwriters.
There's a station in Baltimore, WCBM,
yep.
that has a similar program to that, or promo.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a promo. Liner. Liner? Disclaimer?
Liner.
Something. Yeah. Disclaimer, yeah.
You got that
to,
right.
To that, it is a similar one to that. He doesn't do it quite as dramatically as that, or at least the first part, but then he goes, the views expressed by the host on this program did not reflect blah, 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 blah. The views of WCBM, something, 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 and then he pauses. But they should be.
Yeah.
So after that, my boss made me re-record one that simply goes, the following public service program is airing in compliance with FCC LPFM regulation requirements. If your group organization would like public service airtime, please email us at wurkradio@gmail.com. Like that. So
yeah.
You know, with the thing about with low powered FM stations is they have to say things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know that Democracy Now! Was actually helping us meet our FCC LPFM quota. I didn't know that at the time.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, depending on what you're reading and what you're doing, you have to do that. Now, I want to talk about timing for a second, because timing into a music format, especially a local format, is one thing. But Tim, as you know, timing into a satellite is a whole nother animal, right?
Okay, didn't we just discuss this about half an hour ago?
Yes, but I wanted to make sure that I knew, because I've had to do weather forecasts for radio stations that have had satellites before. And timing into that thing is really, really difficult.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what we were talking about with the newscast and watching watching
right, newscast. Right, exactly. Right. Because, yeah, because you're not careful. That thing's going to cut. I had to do news for the morning show at work radio.
I've listened to it from the listener's perspective. I've listened to a lot of them, especially when, you know, when I recorded one as a demo from home, and Brian and Mary asked me to listen to a few of them before I recorded it to kind of get the style and get an idea for the time. But I thought that they were all pre-recorded, and then they would edit it down to make sure that it fit into the 90 seconds.
To make it cohesive, yeah.
And many of them are pre-recorded, but some of them are live. But they still, again, when she was doing that thing live, that thing was going to kick her off the computer, or that thing was going to kick her off the air if she didn't finish within the 90 seconds.
Yeah, I think I used to read news all the time, and the hardest part is you can't use your. You can't go on your phone and with a stopwatch and okay, I got 5 seconds left. I better hurry up and do this. You can't do that. You know, you really can't do that. So you have to kind of eyeball it, I guess. Yeah, you had to find a way to figure out, okay, how do I know that my time has elapsed?
Because she said, and this is one benefit that she has that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
She said that there's a studio clock above her that, and this is, I guess, anybody when they're on the air, there's a studio clock above them that has it, you know, down to the second, so they can look up at that at any time. So that's what she's tracking while she's doing the newscast. And first thing I thought was, I can't do that.
Well, Chris, you could do that, except for your newscast will have to be pre-recorded, and then you'll have to be edited in a certain way in order to do that. I've done live news before.
Question is, what takes more time?
I would say the actual editing of it. I would
exactly. I would say. So it might as well be live.
Yeah. It might as well be. And that's the hardest part when you have a national news and a network news is the network. At least with a network, you already know. I mean, because they send the newscast about 50 minutes before it's supposed to air.
Right.
So at least with like Fox News, because I know I think Ellen I is a Fox News.
They are
affiliate, right? So yeah. at least with the network, you know, okay, this is 1 minute long or 2 minutes. Or,
ooh, you know what? I can say this now because this may seem insignificant at first, but I can say it now. We are
what?
I said, this may seem insignificant at first, but I can say it now, and it's pretty cool that I can. He said that WLNI is a Fox News affiliate, and at first I said, yes, they are, and then I corrected myself. We are.
Yeah, because you work there now. That's right. So let's talk about the, because I want to talk about this all day. Let's talk about the programming, because we talked about their morning show, yeah, and then the sports line, mm-hmm, but and we talked about this a little bit on Monday afternoon. So they run Kill Me from 9 to noon.
Yeah.
Then the instead of going with Buck with Clay and Buck, mm-hmm, they went with Dan Bongino from noon until 3. And then they're running only 2 hours of Hannity from 3 to 5, which I'm pretty sure Premiere hated, right?
Which I think was kind of whether or not they thought of it this way in the beginning, but I think was a little bit of an F you to Premiere, which I love.
now,
aren't they required by contract to run that last hour at some point?
I don't know how they got out of it, but they're not. But they're not airing the last hour. They have to air his commercials, but they're not running the last hour.
Hmm.
Now, Tim, you were in a situation where
in order to get Rush, Premiere mandated that you air Dr. Dean Adele.
Yeah, right.
But Premiere, what was it Premiere at the time, or was it a different
name? I don't remember. You know, it was, well, it was just the EIB network thing.
That was ABC, maybe?
But anyway, yeah, that surprises me because, you know, they're supposed to air that last hour at some point in their broadcast schedule.
They mentioned that it was hard to do. It was a kind of a battle with Premiere.
I can imagine. Yeah, because, I mean, that's something that you have to take in your contract. If you're going to get this, you got to do it.
Yeah, and every syndicator is going to have different rules. So, for example, that I think in order to get Hannity, they probably had to decide to pick up Coast to Coast AM as well.
They already had Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, okay. So they were airing that program. So Hannity was a different can of worms. And
maybe
I mean,
how they did that. They said, "Hey, we already have Coast to Coast AM.
Coast to AM. We just want, you know, we'll pick up Hannity." I think one of the hardest because with Hannity and we saw, and Tim, didn't we see this with the Herman Cain show, where stations, like, the show was 3 hours, but a lot of stations didn't air that first hour, I guess is what it was. Like, a lot of stations didn't air that for. Now, Tim, what was it? Now, Tim, I think you told me once that you guys had to air Dr. Dean Adele, but Premiere didn't say when you had to air Dr. Dean Adele.
We put Dean Adele on at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was a perfect time for him.
Yeah.
That's what Tom said anyway.
So Premiere didn't care when you aired it as long as you aired it.
Got those commercials in, man.
And then you didn't have to deal with Daffy anymore.
So yeah,
he still did it with Daffy because sometimes it will be on the same, because this is before streaming. So it will be on in on I think it was what, KGO.
You're right.
It'll be on KGO, but not on the network. And well, Tim was close to finding Daffy and wringing her neck, but that's a good story. But it's like, oh, well, can you send it out? Sorry, yes. We can't do that. I'm like,
Daffy and I did not get along at all.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, it's on the station in San Francisco, but it's not on the network. We can't air it. So a lot of listeners didn't even notice it anyway. So I guess it didn't matter. It didn't really matter all that much.
Nope. Yeah, well,
listeners didn't even
nobody listened. Nobody listened. Who cares?
Yeah. Okay.
But there were times, I mean it, man, there were times where we would run the same Dean Adele show or Dean Adele show for the same show 5 times in a row because we couldn't get another show.
Right.
So, they didn't care. All they care about is getting the commercials done, get those commercials done, you know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about your problem. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of a way that you could do that. There used to be a clock that you could get, and it was a very interesting little electric clock. It was a digital, one of the very early, early, early digital type clocks.
Oh, was that that little Braille?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you could find one of those, it would be just absolutely invaluable for you.
I guess you have to have one hand on the copy.
What I was about to say. You got to have one hand on your copy and one hand on the clock. The only other way that I could think of is if you could figure a way to get your talking clock into, say, your headphones so that it would give you sort of a countdown.
Yeah.
You know, 30 seconds elapsed, 60 seconds elapsed, 90 seconds elapsed.
Oh, whatever. All right. Yeah, that's a thought.
That's actually a good idea.
I wonder.
You can do that.
there's going into that hard break. There's music as usually happens in the hard break. There's music that fades up for about, I have to ask her how long that is. I want to say it's about 10 seconds, maybe. So I don't know if that's worth taking as a cue, but.
Well, if you got a music bed under you, it's a lot easier because you can time with that music bed.
Right. And it sounds like, as I'm starting to listen more and more carefully, it's starting to sound like she, especially when she does it. There's another guy who's doing it in the afternoons now, and it seems like he's still trying to get used to it. But when she does it, there's almost kind of a rhythm to it. And it almost sounds like she's looking for places in the music bed to switch stories.
Yep, right. And you can time that way. As long as you've got a music bed under you, you can pretty well time things out that way.
At least she's not pulling a WNZ up. They had a bed. They got a music bed for every new story. You know,
what is that? WABC thing?
No, WNZF.
No, I know, but there's another station in a big market that kind of started that. Is it ABC?
Winds,
maybe.
Winds, probably.
I thought it was Winds or WGN. I don't know either.
Could be.
Or TOP. No, TOP doesn't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
No.
Actually, wait, no. Chris, you remember NEW did that when we had it here?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
All right. So, they also have a lot of specialty weekend programming on LNI.
They do, and they're starting to localize it. Now, this is where, you know, the station managers were so impressed and were telling people that they were introducing me to how impressed they were at my knowledge of the station. And then something came up about weekend programming, and I was like, oh crap, I know nothing. Because Anthony, the guy who produces the Morning Line, is also the weekend producer.
Right.
So, and a lot of those shows are paid programming, which, you know, means those guys are from businesses and.
Broker programming.
And, you know, they don't know much, if anything, about radio. So Anthony needs to run their board for them. So anyway, he went through, of course, from memory, the whole Saturday schedule with me. And I was like, I know none of that.
Because on most,
I said, do me a favor and don't tell Brian, Mary, or Rich, but I don't think I've ever listened to this station on Saturdays.
Because most talk stations have a lineup that's usually maybe one or two local shows, and then either Kim Komando or Leo Laporte or The Money Pit or whatever. And that Money Pit theme song is really catchy. Anyway, that's theme song will cause you to experience severe earworm when you're singing when you hear it so much. You know, I was in the shower this morning.
another installment of You Might Be a Radio.
Exactly.
Now
it's funny because I was listening to another station, I forgot what station it was, and they're playing She's a Lady by Tom Jones, and I thought about Kim Komando because she used that song by Tom Jones.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I it's like, and then what's that song? Da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Oh, she drives me crazy.
She drives me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then
Clark Howard.
Yeah, Clark Howard.
Clark Howard. That's right.
First, Clark Howard. Mm-hmm. I guess and Sean Hannity had that.
Bruce Hornsby and the Range.
Oh, that's it. That's
on that.
We should do a segment on the show. Name that talk radio theme song. Oh yeah, we should do a segment on the show because right now they're using "Come Into Your City" by Big and Rich for Sean Hannity's show. I don't know what they're using for Mark Levin.
It's still the one it always was. Linkin Park. What's the song? Yes, Somewhere I Belong. That's right.
And Chris, do you remember what we said when they launched the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show on Premiere?
You'd use your own theme song.
Use your own theme. Yeah, don't please. Don't rely on. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
I think that is a contract issue.
Really? Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was able to find out about that. That's a contract issue. They're contracted to use that particular template for, I think, the next 2 years or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Premiere wanted to keep Rush and Spirit alive just by letting them use.
Oh, or are they? Is it because they're just running out what was Rush's contract?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So I guess Rush had a couple more years left on his contract.
Of course, it has to do with contracts. It has to do with licensing of the music and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was wondering about that. Because Dr. Laura, now this very depending on what.
She's still you're listening. Picking machine gun bullets out of her.
What? Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. Because I remember when she was on Premiere, her theme song was "New Attitude" by Patti LaBelle,
mm-hmm.
right? And they had to, which had to be a contractual thing. Now, when you hear on SiriusXM, she doesn't really have a theme song anymore.
No, right, Chris? It's let's see. It's I think it's a different. I think it's a different theme song each hour. I haven't listened in a while, but I think it's a different theme song each hour based on the
what their producer does is they orchestrate the because you the call screener and then the producer does everything right down to the bumper music, right?
Which is actually a pretty cool idea, I think.
Yeah, so what that person does is they'll take like a part of a call that was taken on a show, and then they'll find a song. Like for example, they had one where the woman said, "Oh, my daughter, you helped me keep my daughter from lying," and then you hear, "You can't hide those lies."
Well played.
They'll attach it to whatever the song to whatever that car's problem was.
How high is the water, mama?
Three feet high.
It's kind of what we do here at RTL.
We use that, of course, in our Monday show, and I'm still getting grief about that.
Johnny Cash, but, song, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's, it, yeah.
How did that? Speaking of novelty Johnny Cash songs, how did I'm trying to remember now. How did A Boy Named Sue come up on the Lori interview? Besides the fact that she's a country DJ.
I'm trying to. I think we were asking her like, because we were talking about how in her car she doesn't listen to radio. She listens to CDs.
Yeah. Oh, that's why.
And that's what came about.
And then
you started playing Boy Named Sue. I was like, what is this?
honestly, that song is really, really weird.
It's a great song.
It's a Charles Silverstein song.
Yes.
Oh, wait, it is?
It is. Yeah. I mentioned that in the interview.
I had to go back and listen. I spent a lot of time listening to the Jason
Knight.
To the Jason Knight interview that we recorded. Literally, we had two shows in the same day. Yeah. So I spent
lots of time. That was a fun day.
Oh yeah, it was very fun. We were. I think we did everybody a great service. Anyway, so let's talk about a couple other things. So. I listen to the station and I noticed that there's no traffic reports. I guess because it's such a small market.
That is the one thing that station is missing.
Yeah, because they whether through WDJT, which is channel what, 7?
That's DBJ.
DBJ, sorry.
DBJ is channel 7. Yeah, that's where they get their weather from.
Is that ABC, CBS, what network?
ABC, I think. Yeah, ABC.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And Mary told you how that worked, right?
Yeah. So what happens is they just send they record the weather update and then send it over to Anthony, the producer, who runs it through the system, and then they send over the weather for I think the whole day. They send over the morning one and the one to play throughout the afternoon. And then at some point during the afternoon, they'll update it and for the evening and then send that over.
At least they're using a good meteorologist instead of using Alan Archer. So
right. And then if they need to update, like if there's a storm or something going on and they need to update it, then they'll text somebody, I guess, and they'll say, hey, there's bad weather coming in. Can we go live? And then they'll call in and go
live. Can you actually do that for your radio station? What we did at ELE was we had Channel 2 weather from Orlando, and they had so many radio stations that were contracted to run their forecasts they just simply put the weather on their website with a password that you had to use to get to the forecast, and they would update it twice. They'd give you a morning forecast, and then later on they'd give you an afternoon forecast.
One of the nice things about the
all you had to do was download it and put the intros and outros in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because yeah, I can see it now. Here's your official WWE LNI forecast for meteorologist Alan Archer.
I was hoping we could avoid this.
I actually texted, I found a clip of that and texted it to Anthony, and he said that guy's not in this market, is he? And I said, no, he's in Florida. And he said, good, because if anybody gets any ideas about him doing any kind of weather forecast with us, I'm going to Mary's office right now and asking her never to do weather from him ever.
Well, you know, I know Z88.3 that he's forecast from the National Weather Service. Some people use John Weatherby's weather reports. I know on Play FM, that's a very John Weatherby.
Good name for that.
Yeah. I thought the same when I first heard him.
I know on Play FM, I know this because I work there. I handle the morning forecast, and the other DJs handle their own forecasts.
Okay.
Hey Tim, didn't you? Hey Tim, did you guys have weather on W Talk, and how did you guys do that?
No, weather on W Talk was we didn't have anything. We just did
just read it.
Got it from the weather radio, braille it up and read it with a music bed under it.
Oh, all right.
That's one way to do it. Yeah, because at B105, I was at B105. Because I was the weather reporter at B105. I cut a forecast for the morning and then cut another one for the afternoon and cut another one for night. I was exhausted when all this was over. Talking to our buddy Chris Newsbaum about his new job at WLNI.
Speaking of weather, guys, I stepped out to take something to recycling and the wind's picking up and rain's coming. So that's my weather report.
Okay. Thank you, Jim Cantore.
I forgot about him. Oh man.
Yeah. Honestly, Jim is one of those. Jim Cantore, one of those fear and stealers at the Weather Channel, because he always finds the scary part about the weather. You notice that?
Well, that's where they always send
I'm not
him.
Scared.
Like he's got like a hurricane. You know, they've got a hurricane, and let's see, there's the one in Louisiana that just went through Louisiana. He was probably there.
They've got a tornado someplace or a
you know, blizzard someplace. He's always reporting on it.
Yeah. But Chris, man, congratulations on your new job, man. It's got to be. What does Mary think of our podcast?
Yeah. So she's really been enjoying it. I mean, just the idea of having a podcast about radio. From radio, and she was like, "Is this an industry podcast?" And I said, "No, it's just listeners, and it's just people who love radio." And she's like, "That's cool."
She's more than welcome to come on to come on.
Talk. I'm gonna check in with her about that, whether she wants to do it. Right now, she is at. I'd love to check this out. She's at the Virginia Association of Broadcasters convention.
Ooh. That is exciting. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does anybody air Buck Sexton and Clay Travis in their market, or they're just not?
Probably FIR does in Roanoke, but I don't know.
What is your power? What kind of a signal does your station have?
Let me look that up. I know it's a Class A. Let me look that up. I know it's on the Wikipedia page.
Yep.
When in doubt, go to the encyclopedia.
Go to Wikipedia, exactly.
Yeah. Or I notice, like, a lot of times some stations incorporate that into their About Us page.
Yeah.
Or their media kit.
Yeah.
They probably can't be pushing out 100,000 watts though.
No.
Cause I figure, you know, at least 25,000 watts. And that's probably the standard for that kind of radio station.
Keep going and then I'll
okay.
Well, Chris, I think it's great that you got this gig. I really do. Knew you were gonna get a gig in that market. I just felt it.
Mm-hmm. And so
I know I know Heather had her sights on.
Yes, that's kind of what I was talking about there. But you know, I think it's great. And if there's anything I can do to help you with with your production work, or
I'll definitely have questions for you. And I'm
I would love it if you would maybe try to teach me Gold Wave, because I've never been able to figure it out.
I'm still learning it myself, but there were some things that I learned in the process of doing that promo that actually made editing easier than I was making it originally.
Well, that's the first thing you do. You take your the elements that you're not responsible for, and Gina has to do this all the time when she's writing news, you know, because she'll do a lead line for a story and then go into a pre-recorded thing. And of course, she's doing it live. So, I mean, it's that much, you know, much tighter and so forth. She gets it. She gets it every single time. I don't know how she does it, but, you take the elements that you're not responsible for and you time them out first. And then that gives you a good parameter for knowing exactly how much time you have. And then once again, you sit down at that Braille writer and you start writing it out. And just remember how many lines you need. Just know how many lines for how many seconds.
All right. So
that should be pretty helpful to you.
Frequency is 105.9, of course. Yeah, Sister Wealth, they need to update that page because it's still listing as sister stations, WFIR, WSLC, WSLQ, and all these other stations that are owned by Wheeler. First air date 1994.
Actually, you could have gone to Radio Locator and brought it up in Radio Locator much quicker.
Facility ID Class A. Power 6,000.
6,000.
Wow. Okay.
Well, that covers your community pretty well, yeah. I would think.
Tim, I want to talk. Let's talk about power for a second because, if your station's pushing up say 100,000 watts, and then they'll cover a big chunk of the market, right? But then if they start, you know, 5,000 or 6,000, then they're pretty much localized to that community, right?
Yeah. So
okay. Yeah, because I wondered about that. I was wondered about that. So,
this is Grady. I was gonna say, Chris, you know about this, but we have it's not localized, but it covers four states. WAYZ from Hagerstown, they have like I think it's at 57,000 watts or 75,000 watts. It covers four states.
Yeah,
like one of Maryland's strongest singles.
Yeah, we have the Joy FM, which broadcasts across three states, but that's just but that's a bunch of stations alongside that one. So
yes, I didn't mean to cut you off, but there you go.
The sky is still off the air.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I wonder if they're streaming. Let me check. Hang on a second.
Oh yeah, they were streaming. How I found out about what was going on this morning was I woke up at 6 o'clock and was listening to them. And it's funny because they didn't say anything about it until finally about 6:15, 6:20, something like that. Out of their first break, they gave it about 20 seconds to tell people that, hey, we're not on the air, but you can listen to us, you know, whatever, on the web.
Online or on your phone. Online. Yeah. Honestly, Tim, if I were you, I would have called them and said, hey, I have a question. Did y'all not pay your light bill or what?
Yeah. I tried to call them, and of course, all you get anymore when you try to call a radio station, you don't even get the. There's nobody at the front desk even answering phones anymore.
I mean, call into the studio line.
You know.
Yeah, that is one thing. That is one thing that
it's all done with voicemail these days, and I don't know how you sell a radio station that way, but
that is one thing that this station has. They're not a relic, but they have the best of the old ways, yeah, for lack of a better term, including answering the phones.
Ding, 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 ding.
That seems simple, but you know, it is. And during the day, you call the studio line. They don't have a full-time receptionist. So if you call the studio line, which doubles as the office line, it could be the program director, it could be the general manager, it could be the producer or production guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or chances are it could be you because you're gonna be helping out the screen.
Or it could be me.
Exactly. But let's give Chris a congratulatory round of applause, everybody.
All right.
So, Chris, now that you got a job at a talk radio station, what are you going to do now?
Well, the thing now is that because this is such a part-time job and I need to move, I do need to have another gig which will support, you know, all the expenses of moving and living and all that stuff. So
okay, really good. I thought you were gonna say
this isn't a, so sadly this isn't full time.
Really, Chris, because we'll I thought you were gonna say, well, Jamie, I'm going to Disneyland.
Yeah, hey, why not? Go for it. Why not? Go for it. I would love to do that.
Hey, I have a question.
I've been to Disney World a few times, but never Disneyland.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ashley.
What's up?
So I've been to Disneyland, but not Disney World. So are you able to like jump into other departments as well? Because I do know with a lot of stations, that's kind of the norm.
Jump into other departments. Like, what do you mean?
Like,
as far as within the company itself, rather. I think that's just
like,
what she's gonna ask.
No, like, I mean, like, not just do like production, but like promo, things like that.
Oh, promo. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know because I haven't really been involved in that. Way that building works, all the production, all the programming stuff is downstairs, and the sales and promo, that stuff is upstairs. I was there 2 days and I never went upstairs. So I don't know what goes on up there.
Right.
No, I'm basically asking you, like, is there room for you to grow in your position and cross train in different departments, not just do production, but other things as well to kind of build your skill set?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Chris. Chris, that's good. That's good. So, well, Chris, I gotta say, man, congratulations! And it sounds like we also made new listeners with Mary, and I guess Mary is now, I guess, becoming a huge supporter of what we do here at RCL. So that's a really exciting thing.
If you need another voice, let me know.
Hey.
Yep. There you go. Yeah, exactly. So, Tim. So, who knows? Maybe, yeah.
I work cheap.
So
that's all you gotta say to Mary. He works cheap.
Yes, he does. And he's the great thing of Mary, and you can tell Anthony. Anthony, the great thing is you know how to produce any of it.
To which Mary would say to me, and so do you.
Oh. Wow. And the great thing is, though, and you can tell this to Anthony, all you got to do is put it in because it's already going to be produced and you don't have to do a darn thing.
Exactly.
But Anthony,
if you need me to do some mixing for you, on a promo, I'd be happy to do that for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks,
just something I don't like to do. I just, when I put something on the air, I want to have everything done. Yeah, and I want to do it. I cannot farm my work out to somebody else who has no idea what I've got in mind. As I've told you guys so many times, whenever I do a spot or a promo or anything, I basically have heard this in my head before I even get started on it.
I think that's why a few people have asked me about, you know, the world's going remote, right? A few people have asked me about the possibility of doing this, but, you know, what would she think about doing it remote while you're in the process of moving, so you could start sooner? Would that be worth asking, or just doing it remote, period? And I said, I don't think so. I just don't think that would work well, because the way that place works is it's a small place and it's very collaborative. You know, people are in their little cubicles, but it's close to each other and everybody's yelling questions at each other. And even if the, even when they're working on the, you know, liners and stuff, if they're not recording, usually the studio door is open. And so, you know, if, so when I was there, if Mary, for example, gave somebody else something to work on, something to produce or something for her show, they were always coming back to her and saying, do you want it to sound like this? Or did you want this? You know, so it's a very interactive thing. And you can do that remotely to an extent, but not at all like you can when you're doing it in person.
Right. And especially since you're fresh out of college, this is like your main first gig. So you want to take advantage of every possibility you can get with them. So we're very happy for you.
Yep. Well, guys, before we go, don't forget, guys, if you're listening to this tonight, when it's being recorded, then we'll be on Clubhouse tonight at 8, 7 Central. If you are listening to this later on, then, well, enjoy that. Chris, we just want to say again, congratulations. And, you know, I mean, and honestly, I wish you could have gone to 93.7 The Rebel. and I guess the dogs say I guess the dogs say congratulations as well. Because I guess
I don't know where they are. I'll have to look them up where the Rebel is, where their studios are.
Yeah. Well, folks, that's going to wrap things up for us here at Radio Connection Live for this very special episode celebrating.
And once again, our club is called the Radio Connection for those that might be new.
Exactly. And and so as we celebrate Chris and his new gig at WLNI in Lynchburg, Virginia. And by the way, that market has a station called Spirit FM, in case you're wondering, Chris.
That's right.
Yeah, Spirit FM. I like their morning show. It's called Good Morning Radio.
Good Morning Radio. Sorry. Sorry,
and whatever you do, Chris, try not to get discouraged. Try not to, because I know where you're coming from. A liberal in a conservative talk station.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that position all too well. There were so many things I got away with at W Talk and nobody ever caught them.
Yeah. And Chris, also, man, whatever you do, don't drive like my brother.
Yeah.
The end. Yes, I know. That was a Car Talk reference. You know.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Well, guys, thanks for coming along today here on Radio Connection Live. Monday, we go back to our regular format. And Chris, listen, man, if you're not busy, man, stop by. We'd love to have you, you know.
And I got that Pennsylvania station recorded this morning, Preston.
Ah, thank you.
And hey, if you want to check out an air check, if you want to check out WLNI and maybe get an air check of them for a future show, I'd be curious, because this of either of the local shows, this would seem to be the one that I'd be working on more. I'd be curious for you guys to listen to the Sports Line, which is their local show from 5 to 7 p.m. and see what you think of it. I personally think they've got a lot of potential, but there's a lot of it to work on.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, well, how do we get to this WLNI stream?
It's anywhere, WLNI.com. It's on TuneIn, iTunes,
all the major,
all that.
Yeah, all the major. Yeah, so it's mostly, but Tim, for you, it's going to be WLNI.com. And it'll probably be labeled, you know, listen live or some wordage thereof.
or listen online or just listen or something like that. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. And have yourselves a great rest of your week. And for the entire crew, until next time, together,
let's
keep radio alive. There you go. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Radio Connection Live, the podcast. Radio Connection Live is produced by JT Productions in association with Air Jackson Associates. Executive producer and creator, Jamie T. Production assistance provided by Tim O'Connor. Ashley Lynn is our social media princess, with assistance from Preston Gaylor and Chris Nussbaum. A.J. Bowen is our news contributor. Special thanks to the good folks at RadioInside.com, as well as InsideRadio.com for our news nuggets. We're in touch, so you're in touch. We invite you to contact us. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You can also email rclthepodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to join us again next week for another fast-moving edition of Radio Connection Live, the podcast. Until next time, this is John Williard saying, together, let's keep radio alive.
On the wrong end of the highway, when the long night has no end, when there's no one there beside me, till I hold you once again. Thank God for the radio when I'm on the road, when I'm far from home, feeling blue. Thank God for the radio playing all night long, playing all the songs that mean so much to me and you. There's a song that we first danced to, and there's a song they played the night we met, and there's a song we first made love to. That's a song I'll never forget. So thank God for the radio when I'm on the road, when I'm far from home, feeling blue. Thank God for the radio playing all night long, playing all the songs that mean so much to me and you.
Connection Live, distributed by Anchor Podcasting on the internet at www.anchor.fm. And even though Steve Inskeep wonders how he got his last name when he hears us say it, this is RCL.